Hey everybody, Ian here to tell you all about the fine shows you could be listening to from the Stuff and Things Podcast Network. Let's start it off with the original Stuff and Things, the podcast about everything and nothing at all, starring myself and my good buddy Chewy, where we talk about our friendship, our past, our future, our history, ghosts, clowns, sharks, dolphins, and Stan Lee. That comes out every single Friday. You can also check out Four Color Commentary, where myself, Chewy, Ryan, and Alan talk about comic books. That's right, kids, comic books. Old, new, comic book movies and news. So many comics you can't even handle it all. That comes out every new comic book day, which is Wednesdays for those of you in the know. If you're an old or new comic books fan, this is the podcast for you. And every Saturday, Ryan and I team up for an action-packed blockbuster with Super Action Bros, where we watch movies with explosions and car chases. Strap in, everybody, and get your popcorn ready, because Super Action Bros is coming your way. And finally, the dark and spooky side of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network. That's right, boys and girls. Get ready for some scares. It's Eyes in the Dark with Chewy, Evan, and James as they watch classic horror movies and some of those that were made just as a quick cash grab. Well, everybody, that's all the shows of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network. Odds are you're listening to one right now or I wouldn't even be here. Thank you so much for listening. Feel free to subscribe to us and sit back, relax, and enjoy another fine Stuff and Things Network podcast.
And I never saw our parents again. It was just the two of us. But we learned a couple of things while trapped in that house. One, never walk into a house made of candy. And two, if you're gonna kill a witch, set her ass on fire.
You're listening to Super Action Bros podcast, talk about movies with explosions and car chases.
And a troll named Edward.
Oh,
oh Edward. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Super Action Bros.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Ian. Welcome to the final week of Monster Mash Monthtober 3 Resurrection, in which we've been watching some slightly horror-themed action movies. We're finishing off our month, saying goodbye to October, with a little movie called Hansel and Gretel. Witch hunters. So it's fairy tale and witches together.
And hunting,
yes. So before we get into Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters, we want to let you guys know how you can reach out to us if you like what we do and you want to say, hey, watch this movie, or hey, I really loved Van Helsing. You're wrong, but okay.
That was years ago. You need to get over it.
they're redoing it, you know.
I refuse to acknowledge that fact.
Anyway, yeah, they're doing a Universal Monster Shared Universe, which was supposed to start with Dracula Untold, but that didn't do good, so maybe not.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
So you can reach out to us by going to the website for the Stuff and Things Podcast Network, stuffandthingsnetwork.com, which we are a part of. Click on the Super Action Bros artwork. You'll be taken to a page where you can listen to the show right there on the website. You can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. Get episodes as they come out. Boom, right on your device. You can also reach out to us on social media. We have Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, Instagram. We also have a little website called Letterboxd, which is a movie review social media site. So you can download the app there, sign up for a free account there, and follow us on Letterboxd. You can also reach out to us individually on the internet by clicking on our photos there on the bottom. But if you want to do that right now, you can reach out to me, Ian, at iRitch. That's at iRitch.
I'm on Twitter, also Ryan Roop, RyanRuppe.
You can also email us. There's a big contact us button. Go ahead and select our show from the dropdown. Write us a little letter. We like seeing those. So all of that at stuffandthingsnetwork.com. So Ryan, Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters. This was a movie that came and went.
this movie is weird. Like the fact that it exists at all is very odd.
Yeah.
And it's especially weird if you look at the producers, because the list of producers includes Will Ferrell, and Adam McKay.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. So it was their production company, Gary Sanchez Productions, that bankrolled this movie, and they produced it basically because the guy who directed it and wrote it, Tommy Ricola.
Oh, no. I know this guy.
Tommy Ricola. He made a couple of or he had made at one point at this point one movie about a bunch of ski kids in Sweden who stumble upon some undead Nazis.
Yep.
Dead Snow.
Yes.
And on the basis of that and his pitch of this movie, they were like, yep, here's some money. Make this movie.
Yes. So this movie, okay. In my mind, this movie fits right in home with like The Mummy and like Van Helsing. Like, this fits that, but it's like several years late. As far as like arriving to that party,
but at the same time, it also feels it's sort of spiritually tied to those, but it really reminds me almost more of something like Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Yeah, you know, I'm not gonna lie,
and it's not just the title format.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm gonna go ahead and spoil this up front. I don't think this movie was that bad.
I thought this movie was the best movie we watched this.
It was not great, but it knew it wasn't great, and that's what made it fun.
It was fun.
Yeah, it wasn't wasn't a good movie. I wouldn't be like, oh my god, you got to watch it, it's so good. I had such low expectations that I was like, all right, man, like that was enjoyable.
This is probably my favorite movie that we watched this month.
I would say so. Yeah.
Okay. Good. I'm glad we're on the same page.
Oh yeah. No. I really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun watching it. It was bad. Good. Like, it was just like, oh, this is great.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of the people who made this movie. We just talked about a couple of the producers. We talked about the writer director. There's actors in this movie though.
Yes.
Too.
So
surprisingly starred.
Star-studded cast.
There's a couple of them.
So we have Jeremy Renner,
hey,
Hawkeye himself, old Hawkeye himself,
or Alex Cross, right? Was that his name in the
doesn't matter. Bourne sequel? Non Jason Bourne, Jason Bourne,
Facen Bourne, Faken Bourne.
Bacon
Jorn.
He plays Hansel. Sister Gemma Arterton. Has she done anything else?
She like. Yes, oh, she was in. Okay, she was in. But I can't.
She was in Quantum of Solace.
She's in Prince of Persia.
Clash of the Titans. Okay, so she's been in some other stuff. Yeah, All right. She plays Gretel. Okay, here's the thing about these two. I was surprised. I know the movie's rated R. I was surprised the amount of F-bombs that Gretel was dropping.
I feel like the fact that there are any F-bombs stands in such stark contrast to the very sort of stilted way everybody talked in Underworld 3 Rise of the Lycans.
Yeah.
That I was like,
welcome reprieve.
I much prefer people just cursing at witches.
You know what I really liked about those two too, and it's not even just them, but like the whole story. I like how like serious this fairy tale lore is taken, and I like how almost. And I know this is going to sound blasphemous to people who are going to be like, "How dare you compare this movie with the movie I'm about to say?" It had that kind of like John Wick world of witch lore.
We didn't know about it at all. Totally did.
And like there was it's a swamp witch like and this witch and that witch.
The backstory is deep as. Is so deep.
Yeah. And Hansel suffers from sugar sickness.
No,
because he ate too much candy when he was a kid. And so
he's diabetic.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not sugar sickness.
And that's what they call it.
Oh, no, that's a joke.
That's what they call it. They go I have the sugar sickness. And if I don't do this, I'll die. I'm like, oh, okay.
It's not exactly how certain types of diabetes
work. That's not how diabetes works. My dad is diabetic. That is not at all how it works.
It's okay.
Well, it is. He ate a lot of candy and bad stuff. And then, yes. And then so but those two, I don't know. I feel like they have a pretty good chemistry together. I buy them.
Work. It's he definitely looks a lot older than her. In real life, he's 15 years older than she is.
I'm not surprised.
And you can tell. But that's how it works with casting of women in movies.
So we have a Stormare sandwich this month.
Peter Stormare.
I was so excited when I saw him. Like, Ryan's going to be sick.
I love Peter Stormare because he's never...
This movie is already getting points.
He never doesn't chew the scenery.
No. Oh, absolutely not.
Chewing the scenery is the only option that he has.
Peter Stormare, for you guys who don't know, he's probably most well-known for... Well, he's a character actor. He's one of those actors.
He was perfectly cast as Lucifer, the devil himself in Constantine.
But he's most well-known for like a couple of Coen Brothers movies, Fargo and The Big Lebowski. He's also one of the nihilists.
He's also the water gypsy from What is the name of that movie from Nacho Libre?
Yeah, he's also in Lost World, Jurassic Park. He's been in a lot of stuff.
Oh, he's in Lost World.
Yeah. We have our villain, or, well, villainess, depending on how you want to be. I'm surprised. I haven't seen her in a while, and I wasn't sure if it was her at first. And I was like, it totally is. Famke Jensen.
Jean Grey herself.
Jean Grey. Xenia on a top herself.
That's two Bond girls in this movie.
So
the story is that I guess Famke Jensen, around this time, had been working on her directorial debut for several years and full on took this movie to pay off her mortgage.
Of course she did.
And like said in interviews, they're like, oh, why did you choose to be in this? She's like, I had a mortgage that I wanted to pay off.
All right.
And she's great in this movie. She really elevates the movie because I feel like she plays this insane queen witch with some restraint, which sounds ridiculous because
but roll with me on it.
But she's not a bad actor.
No.
She knows what she's doing. And I think that it's better than just somebody just full on chewing the scenery.
No, she
could have.
She's fun.
She didn't.
That's the thing about this movie. It's like there's it's actually like really fun. Like I wasn't expecting it to be enjoyable anyway. I was expecting like, oh, here comes more torture. I don't know. Who else do we have here? No. I mean, there's a lot of like the other actors.
A lot of the cast from Dead Snow is in this movie. Yes. Again, just as like a, well, hey, we need, you know, people.
There was some, we have what's her name? Pila Vitala playing surprise nudity.
Yes. she surprised boobs and butt.
No, it was like, she was full on naked. And I was like, whoa, did you watch this with your wife?
Yeah, I did.
Dang it! She's gonna blame me again for this.
She full on did.
But did you tell her I'd never seen this movie?
She doesn't
care.
She's pretty sure that you just go to IMDb, no! Look at the parents' guide. You go to like Sex and Nudity, and like, oh, this.
We
oh,
both
good.
Agreed on this movie.
It's true. It's true. We did.
But you lied to her and said Ian
it's
made me watch
the
this.
Other way. It's funnier the other way. In terms of cast, the only or in the terms of crew. The only one that's really interesting, I think, is the production designer. So a production designer typically in a movie is the person who is sort of, they work really closely with the art director and costuming and all the different people, but they're like in charge of the way the movie looks.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy who's a production designer on this movie is a guy named Steven Scott.
Okay.
He is known for the following other movies.
Okay.
Indiana Jones, Temple of Doom and Last Crusade.
All right.
And Hellboy and Hellboy 2.
All right. Yeah, I can see that.
But like, you can tell he also did Doom.
Oh.
And one of the Highlander sequels. And he also worked on Doctor Who in the 80s.
Hey, look at that.
But I think that's like, you can definitely tell. I think the special effects in this movie are great.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
They are phenomenally good for a movie that's this bad.
People just explode left or right in this movie.
Oh yeah, it's rated R because there's gore everywhere.
There's gore and nudity, like more people, gore than nudity.
Like heads get just
ripped off. Oh yeah,
or popped, just yeah. Stomped on, and it looks like a balloon full of blood was popped.
It's pretty fun actually.
And there's a giant. There's a troll.
Yeah, and it's practical effects.
And it's practical effects. He's a big old puppet with giant hands.
He reminded me
talks.
Of like Labyrinth and like.
Oh
the,
man.
Like,
there's something Jim Henson puppetry. It like hooks right into like my nostalgia somehow.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And I like immediately as soon as his character was there, my brain didn't go, oh, that's dumb and cheesy. My brain was like, oh yeah, that's awesome.
I like this.
Like I was just like,
because I'm like,
yeah,
of course they're gonna do this. Like hey. That's always my entire thing. I was watching, I'm like, yep, and this makes sense, and this is it's like a great B movie. It's almost like
you know, one way you can tell this is a B movie? It's a taut 88 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. I was like, oh.
They don't waste any time.
I watched this before
anywhere.
The Walking Dead premiere, and I was like, oh, I got to be there at 8:30 at my friend's house. What time is it now? Oh, 6 o'clock. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, I'll have plenty of time to get there. So I was like, yep, better start right this second.
Let's talk about themes and MacGuffin.
So the MacGuffin. What a MacGuffin is, for those of you who don't know, it is the driving object or driving force that keeps the plot going. It's an Alfred Hitchcock term. We use it kind of more loosely here to try to apply it to every movie and shoehorn it in. But just because this was on the other night, an example of a MacGuffin, a classic example in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Whoa, what?
The Holy Grail is the MacGuffin of that movie.
Yeah.
Indiana, let it go, son.
Oh, sad.
I can reach it, Dad. And Matt, my roommate Matt, by the way, side note, had only seen that movie once. What? And he instantly knew. He's like, that girl's a Nazi. He's like, that girl's a Nazi.
Yeah.
Like, you sure? He's like,
I mean,
yes.
you can tell in Indiana Jones, the video game, the Lego video game, Lego Indiana Jones.
She's a Nazi.
She's a Nazi.
They don't call them Nazis in there.
No.
Wear armbands or anything?
They have just red armbands.
Okay, well, that's close enough.
Yeah.
So,
if I want swastikas in my kids' games.
No, I'm just saying, like, hey, you got an armband, we get it.
Actually, the coolest thing about that game is that in several levels, in half a dozen levels, are hidden Star Wars characters.
Oh.
And if you unlock them all, you find Luke frozen upside down inside of an ice cave and in the like desert area at the beginning of, or not the desert area, but the like town in the middle of Indiana Jones and
Raiders of the Lost Ark,
you find the cantina.
Oh,
and you go in there and then you find Chewbacca. And eventually if you find all the Star Wars characters, you unlock Han Solo as a playable character.
And then you can play as Han Solo in Indiana Jones. So you can have Han Solo and Indiana Jones doing stuff together.
Yeah.
That's fun.
And Han Solo has his laser blaster.
Let me ask you an honest question. Do they have a, In the Last Crusade level, do they have a River Phoenix? Like, do you play as young Indiana Jones?
They do, actually. That's an unlockable. It's actually a hidden level. You have to beat enough levels to
do like the train and all that. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awesome. So anyway, back to this movie though. So that's a MacGuffin. Lego video game.
Yeah. Hey.
Anyway,
the MacGuffin in the Lego video game is unlocking Han Solo. but the MacGuffin of this movie, I would say, is it's twofold, but it's kind of the same thing. It's catching the big bad witch, Famke Janssen, and also saving the kids.
Yeah. Well, along the way, learning a little bit about ourselves.
Yeah.
Not ourselves as an audience, but ourselves as Hansel and Gretel.
And where
history.
They came from and what their abilities and
powers
are.
So here's what I was a little bummed out about.
But it's a classic easy MacGuffin. They stick to it. It's A to B.
Yeah.
Works.
Yeah. Here's one thing I was a little bummed out about. And maybe it was just because I'm like, well, if Hansel and Gretel are both, because their mom, it turns out, spoiler alert, you find out their mom is a white witch,
so they are protected from witch magic.
Yes, but that means that Gretel is also a white witch, right?
I guess apparently it's hereditary to the ladies.
Did they ever explain why?
Any warlocks in the whole movie?
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, doesn't that make Hansel kind of magical?
This isn't Harry Potter land of witchcraft and wizardry.
I was hoping a little bit that Hansel would pick up something and listen. I'm not saying
what you were waiting for is the moment when Edward says, "You're a wizard, Hansel."
No, I was waiting for the moment where they both do magic together as brother and sister, and like they're strongest together. I was waiting for that moment.
I feel like,
or like she couldn't do it alone, and like they had to do it together.
Oh, they gotta hold hands, or
like that, like that, like that.
Like the end of Guardians of the
Galaxy. That moment never came. I mean, that didn't destroy the movie for me, but
like there was enough little like winks to it that they were planning that for the sequel.
Yeah,
which will probably never
happen.
Which is really too bad because this, like, in terms of horror-themed action movies, this one is just, it's dumb, but it's so much fun.
We should watch Pride and Prejudice and Zombies next year.
It's not, I'm going to rescind what I just said. I don't think it's actually that dumb.
It knows what it is. It doesn't pretend to be something it's not.
The fact that there's lots of machine guns and shotguns and other guns in medieval times, kind of.
Maybe, but they're like, they're almost
post-medieval.
But they're not even like bullets. They're like, aren't they silver stakes, something like that?
With magic water poured on.
Yeah. So,
but I mean, like, it's a Gatling gun.
It is. It's a Gatling.
I don't think that they. But who cares?
Like, that's the thing is, you don't question
the
these things.
You just the fact that they're just cursing up a storm.
If you go into
dropping the F-bomb all over the place.
Yeah, if you go into this movie being like, oh man, I need explanations for all this, you're like, you're gonna lose it.
But at the same time, like, they've definitely built a world in which like there are explanations. The witches definitely seem to have, like, all the witches are very, like, their powers are very organic and tree-based.
Yeah.
But not everybody's a forest witch, you know.
No.
They have the different kinds.
At the very end, they have all these different witches.
Sand one and different things.
But
like
I like that they have this whole like lore of like all these other witches that they've conquered, and like they know a lot about the different things that, like, the different spells witches cast, like, and yeah, like, it felt like there's this like secret witch handbook that we never
saw. A group of people sat down and they wrote a, like, Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters series Bible.
Yeah.
And then this was episode one.
Yes.
And and we may never see episode two.
So what are some themes though in this movie? Show, though? Oh man, that'd be great. What are some what do you think some so themes good. Are in this
I mean, I feel like there was actually not an enormous theme of like family.
Yeah, I was expecting more of a family.
I was expecting a lot more of a like a crucial moment where like brother and sister have to be brother and sister or something like that, like you mentioned, and that never really comes. And that's disappointing because there aren't that many hero pairs that are brother and sister.
Yeah, or that like there are duos, or like that's what I was saying. Like if they both are magic,
you gotta if you have the strength of the fact that the characters are siblings,
yeah,
you gotta use it.
I mean, you gotta do the Wonder Twin powers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I was expecting to happen here. I was expecting like that there would be a moment where the only way they could defeat the witch at the end is by working together. And it's not like, and here's the thing,
he tosses her a crossbow.
But here's the thing in this movie, they don't really ever have a moment where it's like they're failing because they're not working together.
Yeah,
like, they don't ever have that moment, so I guess there's no real quote unquote payoff of that because that never really gets set up.
But I mean, the lack of that whole theme is a bummer because it feels like that's low hanging theme fruit.
Yeah, it really.
That they should have harvested.
Yeah, I would say so.
I'm gonna start making a fruit metaphor.
No, I get it.
But yeah, but I think besides that, it's just the theme is killing witches.
Yeah. Killing
violently.
Witches.
Well, there's a theme of like good versus evil.
Yeah.
And like the part where Peter Stormare and all those other dudes are gonna mess with Gretel.
Yeah.
And then the troll comes out and pops all their heads like pimples.
Yeah.
Which is the thing that happens. Like that was definitely like a hey, you know, even people who are in positions of authority can be bad.
Yeah.
But I don't know if there was much of a theme there. It was just sort of like everybody's terrible.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of themes.
No,
in this movie,
it's not a lot of themes. This isn't really a really thematic. Like
They did a lot of world building, but not much philosophical work in this thing.
I mean, this. I'll be honest. The movie is just fun. Like it's enjoyable and stupid and great because it's like it doesn't care about itself.
Yeah.
Like
it
takes itself seriously to a point, but it's not to where it's like this is the most important thing. It's like yeah, this is Hansel and Gretel. You know, like from the story, there's the witch. They throw her in the oven.
Like,
and then
like the final. Showdown you know. Happens in front of the like rotting, decayed old candy house,
which is great.
And the first thing that happens is like as soon as you come upon it is that Hansel says, "Oh yeah, of course, great."
Oh yeah, this place.
Yeah,
I hate
like
this crap.
Like the exact same thing you're thinking. Like, oh, of course they're gonna set it here. He's like, yeah, of course. And you're like, all right, buddy.
I enjoyed. I agree. I liked that bit though. I liked.
No, it was perfect.
Like, see, I don't know. Like, I feel like it. Here's the thing. I feel like it celebrated the fairy tale well enough.
Yeah.
To where it like there's a lot
and
of
in
movies.
A sense, that in a sense, almost kind of redeemed the parents in the Hansel and Gretel story.
Well, and almost
who left their kids in the woods.
Well, in the regular Hansel and Gretel story, they find them. And
yeah,
they,
that's true. In the regular Hansel and Gretel story, the parents aren't hanged and burned respectively.
No, they're not. At least not that I remember. But I did enjoy it. It's almost like in the same way that you enjoy Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter because things that happen in that movie, like not all of them really happen, but you know, he marries Mary Todd, he becomes the president.
Yeah.
And all the while he's, you know,
fighting
vampires, fighting the undead.
Vampires, yeah.
And like, and in this one, it's like, oh, it's still Hansel and Gretel and they do this whole story that we know. And then we'll expand on that. Now they grow up and they decide, you know what? We have a talent at killing witches. Let's just keep doing it. And
witch magic doesn't affect us too
much.
Or
and so that, and I really like that about it. Like I think the reason I enjoyed this so much is because my expectations were so low for it. Like I thought this was just going to be pure garbage. I thought it was going to be another underworld or whatever we watch. I was like, oh, this is going to be bad. But like, you know the thing this had that the underworld didn't have? A sense of humor about itself.
Jokes.
Yeah, it had jokes.
Oh, man, one of my favorite
Jeremy
bits.
Renner was a good choice because he actually can be snarky funny. And like maybe in real life he does a little too much, but in the movies it works out well for him.
One of my favorite bits is when they're in the like, what do you call it, in the inn.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy comes in and he's like, I have a message from you from the witches. And then he's about to explode.
Yeah, just pulls
and
the
Renner
kid.
This kid who's just talking just sort of like, moves the kid slightly so he's standing directly in front of where Jeremy Renner is sitting so he doesn't get covered in gore as the guy explodes from the inside. just little bits like that are good.
Like
it's fun. It's lighthearted and incredibly violent.
And the production design is really good too. Like the set design is great. The town looks like a medieval town, but also kind of has a fairy tale look to it.
Yeah.
The witch's makeup is great.
Like, oh, the witch's makeup is incredible. Like their faces look all cracked and all. Like yeah. They look good. Like yeah. They look good and scary.
And the candy house looks good. All of it looked great. I actually really enjoyed it. It reminded me of like. Do you remember a few years
That's
ago?
That's why I brought up the production designer was a guy who worked on Indiana Jones and Hellboy.
Oh, true.
Because you can tell.
Yeah.
Like there's and
he
and
obviously has some history with prosthetics and stuff too. Obviously with Edward with the troll and with Hellboy.
Can, and you can also tell that he's been influenced by Guillermo del Toro with some of the faces of the witches.
Yeah, for sure.
They get a little GDT in there.
I really liked. What was the thing I was saying? Oh, I was talking about the candy house. There's something else I was going to say, but I don't remember what it was. Oh, Do you remember when that Terry Gilliam Brothers Grimm movie came out?
I owned that movie for a period of time.
I'm sorry.
for one day.
It kind of also... Did you return it?
No, I bought it used from a movie store for $8, watched it, and then sold it online for $7. It was a $1 rental.
So it kind of reminds me of that sort of look. I mean, like, it really has, honestly, even the more so than like Van Helsing and stuff, has more in common with something like Abraham Lincoln with Vampire Hunter. Both Hunter movies, I guess. But because it has that, I don't know, it just has this like look to it and feel to it. I don't know. I really had a good time watching it. I'm trying to remember like specific moments, but they all kind of blur, but like, I don't know, like that, like the action
weapons
sequences
are so
good.
Dumb. They're so ridiculous
when they're doing the witches are firebombing the town and stuff, and they have the whole like where like Hansel ends up in a tree,
yeah,
and like Gretel gets destroyed and beat up. Like it's, I don't know. There's a lot of fun action sequences, or like at the very end where all the witches are gathered together under this blood moon thing, and Hansel's like has this Gatling gun. He's like, "I'm gonna make this easy for you. If you just all leave now, consider not killing all of you." And they're like. All right, we're going to get this guy. And then they just get mowed down by the Gatling gun. It's just goofy as heck. It's great. And like, and they're getting...
That scene with all of the witches.
Heads ripped off.
So many costumers must have had just a crazy fun day.
Yeah. It was. I mean, there's not really much to say about it other than it's really fun.
It's fun. Like, it's fun with the caveat of like, if you like movies where there is a lot of blood and guts and you're okay with lots of swearing...
Yeah.
And it's fun.
It's not.
And also, I mean, if you don't mind that the like.
Don't show the kids this movie.
Yeah. That you know, the one female character who is introduced in the movie and is not in the title gets killed so that the other guy, so that the guy that she slept with immediately previous can get angry. Like, if you're okay with fridging a character.
Yeah.
Then be aware that that
I
happens.
Was a little bummed that happened. I was hoping that she'd like come back to life or wouldn't really be dead or something. Or like, that's another thing. Gretel picks up that wand and you're like. Bring her
and
back
the,
to
and
life.
And the wand like glows, and it seems like she kind of went out like a sucker. But they just leave it. It was
They do cut her head off with a shovel.
Well, they cut the witch's head off with the shovel, but not the girl who.
No, I'm just saying. Like I was hoping
shot in the tum.
And what I was hoping is that like Gretel would use magic to bring her. Like that would have been like she
brought that back.
Because they had this whole thing when they build it up. Like your mother was a very powerful white witch. I'm like, when is it going to be a witch? Where is it going to be a white witch fight? White witch and dark witch fight doesn't involve. The redheaded girl who's also, you know, a white witch. Like I wanted to see Gretel become that thing, you know?
Also, like I get why all the witches want to kill Gretel, because that part's pretty convoluted, but during the blood moon they can use her heart because she's a white witch to create a spell so that they don't burn so easily. But why not use the other girl? She seems easier to catch.
I don't know if they maybe knew she was a white witch.
I think
it has to be a grand white witch. I think, and because Gretel's mom was a grand white witch.
We basically in my household called it that redhead lady was a witch. Basically, like immediately after the scene where they declared her not a witch.
Oh, absolutely. Did you see her perfectly beautiful glowing skin and her bright red hair?
In the medieval time, yeah.
Yeah, and she looks like any painting of like Guinevere you've seen. I'm like, yeah, she's probably like a white. I'm like, if they're going to introduce white witches in this movie at one point, like, and especially when like Gretel's mom was like, kid, like you guys are protected now. I'm like, oh, there's white witches, huh? Like there's good witches, like not all witches are evil.
Galenda, the good witch.
I like
of
how
Lenora.
That's by the way that they learn at the end. They learn not all witches are evil.
Oh,
it's like that's the like, yeah.
That's the moral of the story.
Not all witches are evil. Yeah, yeah. Sure. Okay.
Yeah, haven't you seen Wizard of Oz?
Like honestly, it's not like an amazing. This is not an Oscar award winning life changing movie.
There's no awards.
But it's good, silly, ridiculous fun. Like, honestly, I watched this alone and I had a smile on my face and I was like, oh man, Ryan's either gonna love this or hate this.
No, I really enjoyed this. My wife actually really enjoyed this too. She said of all the movies we've watched this month, this was the one that she liked the most.
And you know what I also liked about it too? In a world, and I know this is gonna sound blasphemous considering my love of comic books and Ryan's too, in a world of just superhero movies and stuff, I mean, and like stuff where it's just the plots from those comics done on screen, which are great. Like, I love them, don't get me wrong, but like, it's refreshing to see somebody, if they are going to take something that's an already existing property and adapt it and add something new to it, rather than just being like, oh yeah, it's another one of this. Like, it's something new.
Yeah,
that comes out of something that's well established.
It was neat. I mean, you mentioned it when we talked about it last time that we were gonna watch this. There's not a lot of movies where everybody's fighting witches.
No, it's always like vampires or zombies or vampire zombies or werewolves or
zombires.
But that's what intrigued me about werewolves. The title. I remember when this came out too. I kind of was interested. I'm like, oh, that's a neat idea. Like, that's funny. That seems fun. Like, it's not. I didn't expect it to be an Oscar match. In fact, I expected it to be garbage, but I got a lot more than I was hoping for, and I was really pleased by that.
If they made a sequel to this movie, I would see it opening night.
I would see it too. I would have a lot of fun together. We could be buds. Get some popcorn. We'd share. Our hands would touch.
We could be friends.
And then we'd look at each other, and then we'd be like, what's happening right now? And then we'll just go back to watching the movie and never talk about it again.
And I'd drink my icy.
I'd eat a whole box of Red Vines and cry myself to sleep.
How's that different from every other night?
Well, this night I'd be dealing with my feelings. Oh, okay. Every other night I'm just trying to kill those feelings.
With the Red Vines.
With the Red Vines, you see. Trying to stop my heart.
Red Vines full of rum. No, that seems messy.
So, I don't know. I mean, there's not really much else to say. It's fun. Here's the thing. It works overall as a whole, but there's not a lot of moments where you're like, oh, that one really stood out. It's like it just works together as a whole.
The only moments that really stand out are the moments where people explode in fountains of gore.
Yeah. That's the other part I forgot. Where Famke Jensen comes out of the woods the first time and like ties that guy up by his arms and his legs and then rips him apart.
Tears him apart. Yeah.
Oh my God. And then makes that guy eat bugs. And then,
that part's gross. And that guy explodes. Yeah.
We had a good time.
There's a lot of both blood and guts, actual guts. People get cut into pieces. They use a shovel to detach a head.
Yes, they do.
And it's great because the whole time you're sitting there with the shovel and I'm just thinking like, when's she going to put her foot on that shovel? And at the exact sure right enough. Moment, she does. And there you go.
I guess that's the moment where they do both work together. They do both work together to cut her head off.
Yeah, that's true. Because he's going into diabetic shock and she stabs him with the insulin that's the closest we get.
Yeah.
I think the whole diabetic thing is pretty hokey.
Yeah, but well.
I mean, the whole movie's pretty hokey. Let's be honest with ourselves.
You're upset that Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters didn't portray diabetes in the correct way?
I guess it was a lost cause from the beginning.
Yes, it was. So Ryan, let's wrap this up. I what do you give this movie out of 10?
It's always tough for me to choose a rating for a movie like this because like I really enjoyed watching it. I would watch it again, but like it's not a great movie.
No, it's not
just
good.
It was just fun, but at the same time like. I've given. I don't want to give it a rating lower than movies that I think are bad that we've watched recently.
Yeah.
I think I want to give it like a 6.
Okay.
Let's say 6. 6. Just like really, really creepy looking background witches in that big scene.
Yeah.
There are so many that it's like two ninja witches who their backs are stitched together, or like one that just doesn't have legs. Or one that doesn't have hair, but instead has like spikes.
Yeah, that was down there. I'm gonna give it a little bit more. I'm gonna give it a 7 because I really had a fun. I think 7 is like if I'm gonna put on the same
if you're
level.
Give it a 7. Maybe I'll give it like a 6.5.
Well, like if I'm gonna give it,
I'll give it 6.5 because that one witch with no leg.
I'm gonna go ahead and give it a 7 because like I put this on the same level in my mind now as Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Yeah,
it's like that was fun. I would watch that again.
I would watch those two back to back. Like if you're looking for a Halloween night double feature.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely, Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter, and Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters.
Yes,
you could do much worse.
Yeah, you could.
Like any any of the Underworld movies.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it seven medieval facial nose correction devices worn by Peter Stormare after he gets his nose broken.
I forgot about that. He just got like a thing over
a leather thing,
and then she bites his nose after he takes it off.
Oh God. So
Peter Stormare's nose gets messed up in this movie, man.
So Ryan, blockbuster or lackluster?
This is blockbuster. Absolutely. No question. This is a movie at the end of it, you're like, oh yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
And it even has that credit scene, which is really fun too, which is much more stylized than the rest of the movie. But they're chasing a desert speed witch.
Yeah, I guess that's crazy. That is Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters, and that is our show. Before we go though, we want to give you a preview of the movies we're gonna be watching next time. So we got another theme month coming up. Surprise, 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 surprise.
This isn't just a theme month.
This is one that's been a long time coming.
This is a monolithic event.
I'm excited to watch Ryan Soul die next month when he rewatches these movies and realizes they're not as good as he remembers.
Well, some of them are
some of them are bad.
They couldn't be worse than what I think of them right now.
But even the good ones aren't that great, in my opinion. I'm going to see if that changes. But my opinion now at the beginning of the month is that these movies that I used to love are not going to be as good as I remember them being. I'm going to be really
that's
sad.
That's shots fired.
Yeah, it is. I feel like Ryan will also get there with me too. I venture a guess that he'll be like,
all right, announce it so I can say my thing.
So next month is Matrix month. We're watching all the Matrix movies.
Including the Animatrix.
Yes. So
we'll watch between Reloaded.
So we're going to go in order. We're going to watch the original Matrix first. After that, we're going to watch the Animatrix, which if those of you haven't seen that. Yeah, right? It's between the first one and the second. That came out before Reloaded, didn't it?
I don't think it did.
All right, we're going to look into this. It doesn't matter. Next week, we're watching The Matrix.
I'm pretty confident that it came out in between the two.
I'm pretty sure it did not, because I remember getting the DVD.
I'm pretty sure that I was obsessed with The Matrix movies for...
So was I.
...for a long period of time, and that obsession ended the minute that I walked out of Matrix Revolution.
Me too.
I've actually not seen the third Matrix movie since I saw it in theaters
one
at 6 in the morning.
Yep, me too. Yeah. I saw it one time.
I own it on DVD.
Yeah.
I own a 10-disc box set.
Pretty much what we're going to be doing is throughout the course of the month, we're watching The Matrix first. We're going to figure out the order, but we're also going to be watching Reloaded as well as Revolutions, and we're going to be watching The Animatrix, which is a series of short films that are pretty probably the best Matrix stuff out there. So, guys, get ready. It's November is Matrix month. So, oh my gosh. So thank you so much for listening to us. Thank you for listening to Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters. And join us next month when we begin Matrix Month with the one, the only, the original 1999's The Matrix. And remember,
whether it's blockbuster
or lackluster,
we're the Super Action Bros.
This has been a production of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network.
Exclusively at stuffandthingsnetwork.com.